Good morning. Welcome. We're so glad that you're here. My name is Ryan Suzuki. I'm the pastor of discipleship here at CPC. And I'm so glad you're joining us right here on the day after Christmas. And I'm sure you're probably watching the day after Christmas, right? You're actually here at the right time, at the right season. Hey, even if you're not, it's okay. I understand if it's not the 26th and you enjoyed that time with your family. We're just glad that you're here. And isn't that beautiful that we can have these services online, on demand? And I hope that this will be an encouragement to you as we're getting close to the new year. My prayer for you is that you had an incredible time with your family this week. Yesterday was amazing, and that God is blessing you. So for me, my wife and I, Jess, we've been married for coming up on 13 years. It's kind of hard to believe, but it's almost 13 years here. And you know, when you get into a relationship of any kind, a dating relationship, a friendship, or in a marriage, you have to start have this process of getting to know that person. You want to get to know that person, that friend. You want to grow that relationship because that's how it happens. When you learn about them, when you know what makes them tick, how they love to be loved, how they're cared for, how you can nurture and grow them, that's an essential part of any relationship. And for me, and I remember at the beginning of our marriage, there'd be things like a holiday, a birthday, a special occasion, and there'd be a gift. I'd give a gift. I like to give gifts. And occasionally, every once in a while, that gift would come with a handwritten card to Jess. And every time she got a card, she would say, "Oh my gosh, thank you for this card. I love when you write notes to me. I love when you express yourself through these cards." And she was probably trying to send me a message, but I was a little too slow to get that message. I say, like, "Yeah, of course. Yeah, glad that you enjoyed the card." But as things kept going, as the days, weeks, months, years went by, Jess became less subtle about loving a card. So she told me, like, "Hey, I love when you write a card. You should do this more often." And finally, even though I'm so slow, it started to break through, and I started to realize, oh, she loves a handwritten card. That's a way that to know my wife, to know Jess, it's like, I should write more often. But we actually encountered another problem, because here's the thing. I hate handwriting cards. It's hard for me. I have the universe's worst handwriting, and some of you know this yourselves. You know it, because if you are a new person to CPC, if you come visit us at our little tent over here on a Sunday morning, if you fill out a form and say, "I'm new," you get a handwritten card from me. And probably a lot of you, you see my business card and they're like, "I know this is from Ryan Suzuki, I know that, but I have no idea what this card actually says. I cannot read this handwriting." And for that, I'm sorry. It just says, "Welcome, I'm glad that you're here." So if you have that, now you have the code. It's just a greeting and a welcome. So for Jess, I had to figure this thing out. It's hard. I want to be authentic with my feelings towards her. And a handwritten card is not, it's not my forte in our relationship. So after many, many years, after 11 years of marriage, I finally cracked the code on January 1st of 2020. I was getting ready for a New Year's resolution, and I decided I'm going to write Jess a note every single day of 2020. And I would write her little notes just like this, on a post-it like this. And it was things like, "I love you. I think that you're an amazing mom. I think that you're an incredible wife. You're a devoted friend. You are my best friend." Every single day, I'd put them on our bathroom mirror or a mirror in our room that she would see them every morning, this daily affirmation of who she is, a daily encouragement about who God has made her to be. And it made me sensitive to who she is. I had to become a student of my wife that I could give a real, authentic affirmation and encouragement to her. And here's what we have after a year. We had a picture up here of my notes. That's what she had at the end of the year, 2020, 365 notes. And actually, I didn't stop. I decided, like, let's just keep going. So now here we are, December 26th of 2021. We're coming up on 730 notes, and I don't think I'm going to stop, because we're having this, it's an amazing experience that we get to have. And this isn't a celebration of me, "Oh, I'm so good. It took me 11 years to figure it out." It's not that difficult. It's a simple thing, but it's an act of love to express how I know my wife. I want to get to know her, and we know each other through this simple act of writing a note. And we actually have this. We have a Bible. This is God's word to us. These are notes from him, written by many human authors over about a 1,500-year time span, and we have 1,500 years of notes from God to us. This book is his very words, spoken and written and recorded by human authors. They're notes to us, and not just about who he is or what he expects. They're notes that tell us that we have a God that loves you. God loves you, and he wants to express that through his word. So maybe in this year, you're looking for something. We're a couple days away from New Year's Eve, a New Year's resolution for 2022. And I want to encourage you, maybe look at being in God's word as that resolution. Maybe you want to know God more. You want to know about Jesus. You want to know what it means to follow him. Well, hey, here's the big idea for this morning. If you want to know God, you have to spend time in his word. If you want to know God, you have to spend time in his word. And that you probably heard a message like this before. And I'm glad. We want to keep repeating this because, again, we believe this is the very word of God. But I want to share with you a few benefits. Here's what will happen when you spend time in God's word. But before we get to that, I'm going to pray and ask that God would bless you and bless this time that we have together. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you that even through the gift of technology that we can still be together and learn from you and hear from you. And, Lord, thank you for this reminder. Thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for inspiring these human authors to record these things, your very words, that we might know who you are, that we might be able to grow in our faith, and that we might know your son, Jesus Christ. So Lord, be with us, bless us, and help us to be in your word more and more each and every day. Amen. So I told you I wanted to share with you the benefits. Here's the first one. If you spend time in God's word, you get to know who God is. When you spend time in God's word, you get to know who God is. A few weeks ago, I got to share a message about how we know that God exists. How can we know that God exists? And I said, from the beginning of time, from the beginning of creation, God has been shouting, has been proclaiming, has been trying to make it clear, hey, I'm up here. I want to know you. I am knowable. I care about you. I love you. The very creation of the world. The mountains, the stars, the oceans, the creatures on this earth, people like human beings, like you and like me, display and proclaim the glory of God, that he is out there, that he wants to be known and to know us. Even when God created the first human beings, Adam and Eve, God walked with them in the garden. He knew them. He had conversations with them. He shared with them, and they had a mutual relationship. That's how God made us, to know him and to be known by him. Then after the fall, after the first sin and they were cast out of the garden, God was at work to rebuild a bridge that was broken, to be known by his people, to proclaim his presence throughout the world. He chose a people for himself, Israel, and there was a man, a representative, Moses. You've heard of Moses. He stood on the top of Mount Sinai and he had a meeting with God. A conversation with God where God shared with him the Ten Commandments, all the laws, all these things that how to have a relationship with him. And here we are, a couple thousand years later, we have God's word. Those written records of God's words to us so that we might look in here, read this, spend time in it, and know who God is. 2 Peter kind of puts it this way. We also have the prophetic message, the scriptures, as something completely reliable, and you will do well to pay attention to it, as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things, for prophecy never had its origin in the human will, but prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. You see, God tells us in his word that these things aren't just, what we have here isn't just human authors' opinions about what God's like, who he is, what his plan is, and all these different things. No, they are revealed to those people by God himself. These are the very words of God to us. what God wants us to know about him, about his plan. And you look at this book, from beginning to end, God gives us this plan, his plan for us, his plan for salvation. We have, from the very beginning, the creation of the world. And we go to the end, spoiler alert, we know the end. We know what's coming. We know that Christ will return, that he will make things all right, that he will bring a new heaven and a new earth. We actually know how it's all going to end. And throughout that whole thing that God is displaying, he is sharing, he is disclosing himself to us that we might know him and know his plans. Even with that, even with just this written word, God didn't end there. He says he's seeking us. He tells us that Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. For you and me, if you are lost without Christ, if you do not know him, God, through Jesus, is looking for you. He is seeking after you. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6, it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he, that God, rewards those who earnestly seek him." So God is looking for you, and you can be, maybe you're watching this morning and you're trying to figure all this stuff out. You're trying to, like, I don't know, I want to learn more about God. I don't know what I believe about Jesus. I don't know about this Christianity thing. I don't know what I think about that, but you're looking. You're taking a look. And as you spend time in God's word, as you seek him, God will, it says right here, he rewards those who seek him. So maybe this morning, that's that, there, your next step. Hey, I'm going to spend more time in the word. I'm going to look for God as he's looking for me. And God says, I will reward you. Some of you over the past few weeks, you've been coming to our Christmas for the Valley series. You came to Christmas Eve and you're hearing this thing and it's kind of inspired you in your heart. Like, hey, I didn't know that thing about Mary and about what it says about God. I didn't know that about Joseph. I didn't know that about Jesus, about his names, about what it means to have a relationship with him. And it's piqued your interest. Spend time in God's word that you might know more. You know, for me, I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up going to church and I loved God. I loved Jesus. I loved him from a very early age. But surprisingly, as I got into my elementary years, I actually did not like going to church. I didn't want to go. And I thought about that even as a boy. I thought about, why don't I want to go? And I realized because I was bored at the Bible story time. And here's the reason. When I was growing up, it felt like I heard the same set of stories on repeat. It was like 10 or 12 stories. And you could mark it on your calendar, basically, like, hey, it's week 10, we're here in David and Goliath. It's week 1, we're back to week 2, we're at Samuel in the lion's den. Like, it was just, or Daniel in the lion's den. It was the same type of thing all the time, every week. And I was like, all right, yeah, here we go. David and Goliath, I get it. There's a giant, there's a sling, there's a stone, he kills him. I get it. I hear it. It's a great story. But I was getting bored with those stories. I thought that's all there was. And I remember telling it to my dad, Dad, I'm getting bored. I don't want to go to church. It's boring. I don't want to hear those same stories over and over again. And I remember my dad just picking up his Bible and saying, like, you know, there's more than 10 stories in here, right? And he started to share with me, like, have you ever read Job? You know, I was probably 10 or so, like, no, I'd never read Job. He's like, you should read Job. It's really interesting. It's kind of crazy. It's about God. It's about this faithful man who had everything taken from him, and yet he remained faithful to God. Like, oh, that sounds cool. My dad asked, have you ever read Judges? Like, no, I've never read Judges. Well, Judges is filled with stories of, there's lots of swords and bloodshed and God doing crazy things. It's wild. Like, if you have younger kids, if you got a boy especially who's into that type of thing, like, it's a crazy book. And I remember reading that. Whoa, this is crazy. My dad pointed me to the Gospels, to about Jesus. Like, I knew about Jesus. It's like, read more in there. Jesus says crazy things. He does incredible acts. He says amazing things. Get in there and see what God does. And I did. And as I read more and more, as I took ownership and I spent time in God's word, I began to be enamored with who God was and who he is, who Jesus, what Jesus did, what his miracles, what he said, how he acted. And it grew in me this love for God. And that's why I'm here today. I mean, I was in God's word. It transformed my life. And I'm a pastor because of that. And that can be the same in your life. You don't have to become a pastor. Maybe some of you will. But you will grow in love and know who God is. And it will absolutely change your life. So why do we spend time in God's word? Well, it's we get to know God. The next benefit is this. When you spend time in God's word, you grow in your faith. You grow in your faith. You get to be transformed by God's word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this, "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and from how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." When we read the Scriptures, it teaches us what it means to follow and live for God. It will grow us. It will transform us. It will change us. Hebrews puts it this way. "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." When we open up the Scriptures, it's a mirror, and God speaks to us. He convicts us. He changes us. He challenges us. And maybe now more than ever, we need to be in God's word. In a world that's divisive, in the church, in the world, we can be divided. More than ever, we need to look to this, to spend time in God's word and say, how would you have us live, God? How would you have us act? How would you have us respond to issues politically, medically, socially, all these things? Here's the thing. In this last couple of years, as we've experienced all this dividedness, I would say 9 out of 10 times, the issues that we're debating about, God has an answer. God has something for us that we might know the way to live. Because this book, this document, the Holy Scriptures, it's the final authority on our faith, on the practice of our faith. It's the final authority on what is sin and what is righteousness. It is the lens and this thing that we can look at and know what the will of God is for our lives. And in a moment, we're going to interview an elder of our church, Paul Moon. And Paul is an incredible guy. Hi, Paul. How are you doing?
Hey, hello there.
Paul is an elder in our church, and I've had the pleasure of getting to know Paul over the last few years. And here's what happens. Every time we get together, Paul shares. He's always telling me, it comes up in our conversation, something like this. "Hey, in my quiet times lately, God's been teaching me this. Hey, when I was reading the Bible, God challenged me in this area." Every single time we talk, that's what you say. Paul was really like, "Hey, do I have to do this?" And I said, "I need you to, you are the guy." Like, it's always in our conversation. So Paul, I just have a pretty simple question for you.
Okay.
Can you tell us what your quiet, like what does that time in God's word look like?
Mm-hmm.
How is that expressed in your life? And then kind of as a follow-up to that,
mm-hmm.
What has God done in your life? How have you grown in your faith? Or tell us about a time when God grew in your faith as a result of that time in God's word.
Yeah. Well, I wake up about an hour or so before the family, and I make my coffee, and that's when I have my quiet time. I actually go through something called the Life Journal, and it is a daily, year-long plan that takes you through the whole Bible, and it's probably 4 or 5 chapters every single day. And accompanying that reading plan is a journaling framework called SOAP, and it's an acronym for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. And so I've been doing that for probably about 8-9 years, close to a decade, and it's been great. And I think the growing of faith through that time, I mean, you won't see it overnight, but I think as you fast forward 5 years, 6 years, I tend to not look at the world or not look at the circumstances around my life in such a sort of a temperamental or reactive way.
Mm.
And so that's my daily morning routine. Sometimes in the evenings, what I do is there's a reading plans that you can get from the Bible applications. And sometimes I just pick one of those and like to finish my days off with that, because I kind of like the thought of the Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, waking me up in the morning and putting me to bed at night. And so I kind of like that.
That's incredible. I mean, so I know there's something that's happened in your life this year.
Yeah.
And you kind of talked about how this daily discipline, it is a discipline, that you're spending time in God's Word, how it informed this really kind of challenging situation in your life. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. In the summer, on July 9th, actually, my son was coming back home from a birthday party, and he was riding in a car that was struck by a drunk driver. So the car was T-boned by the drunk driver, and my son, unfortunately, was sitting at the point of impact. And so there was a lot of angst, worry, concern, frustration, anger at the situation. But as I was doing my quiet time at the hospital, sitting next to this boy that's writhing in pain, praying for a kidney that I couldn't see, and because we were at the hospital and at the trauma surgery unit, the doctors were kind of going back and forth as to whether they needed to take the kidney out or not. But I remember praying and doing my quiet time and God speaking to me and really teaching me a lesson that said, hey, look, Paul, you're not in control. You're not in control here. Yeah. I am. And that's actually the best place where control should be, which is in the hands of God. I think he was reassuring me that before Jalen is my son, he is the son of the Almighty God. Mm-hmm. And I think more than just the fact and the realization that God is in control, he was helping me to become okay with that, to embrace the fact that God is in control.
Yeah.
And so that was a really profound lesson that I think that God taught me through my times, at a trying time, but being in the Word and doing my quiet time in the hospital.
Yeah, and I know people are going to want to know, how is Jalen doing?
He's great. He praised God that his kidney is healed and he's doing better. We won't know about the function of the kidney for a little bit, but the kidney itself is healed, and so praise God.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Paul. Thanks for sharing that with us, and thanks for your time.
Of course.
I'm going to give you a hug.
Yeah.
So appreciate you.
Thank you. So as we're looking, listen, do you hear what Paul had to say? I want to make sure that we don't miss this thing. Paul makes these daily deposits. He takes this daily time in God's Word. He spends time with God, and that's a discipline. It's something that he's doing every single day, and it's these deposits of time that he gets to know God and grow in his faith. And he talks about this idea of he gets to frame his day. He frames his day under what God has for him through his Word. And so when something challenging happens, because of all that work of growth, it is like a muscle. It is like working out. It is like a preparation. When that thing happened in the life of his son, He was prepared. He was strengthened. He had grown in an area of trust. So trust, it's not easy, but it definitely came easier. And that faithfulness, that trust that he had in God shone through in a very intense and real way in his life. And so that's what happens when we spend time in God's Word. It changes us. And it causes us to react to things differently. And it causes our lives to be different than they would otherwise be. It's not just a transfer of knowledge. It's not learning, you know, you won't hear from Paul's, when Paul shares that, it's not learning just facts about God. Paul it's not just for Bible trivia or something like that. No, it's for the purpose of knowing God, of growing in his faith, of actually growing his relationship with God the Father, with his son Jesus Christ, that he might know him and grow in his faith. And so this year, maybe you want to grow in your faith. Maybe you're sitting there like this new year, like, I want to get more serious about my faith in God, about my devotion to Jesus Christ. The number one way, I believe, the number one way that that will happen in your life is to spend time in God's Word. If you want to grow in your faith, if you want to grow in your knowledge of God, if you want to know God, spend time in his Word and he will cause you to grow in your faith. The next benefit, this is going to seem a lot like the first one and it's a little nuanced, but I want you to stay with me because this might be the most important thing. When you spend time in God's Word, you get to know the person of Jesus. You get to know the person of Jesus. Let me tell you what I mean by that. I'm going to read a couple of verses that kind of show us what I mean by this. In Hebrews chapter 1, starting in verse 1, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways, through the scriptures, through the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, by Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty in heaven. Do you hear that? God, he speaks through his word, but he spoke most clearly, most evidently through his Son, Jesus the Christ. John chapter 1, starting in verse 1. If you're going to start reading your Bible, by the way, if you've never really sat down, start in the Gospel of John. Start in the Gospel of John. Here's how it starts. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word in the Gospel of John, that's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life. And that life was the light of all mankind, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's Jesus from the beginning. He was there. He is the Word. Jesus is the Word. We talk about, we have God's words written down, and we think about a word. When I give you my word, that is, I'm giving you a piece of myself. I'm saying I am as good as my word. It's about me, my commitment, my honest commitment to you. God's giving us his word, but he didn't stop with just the written word. He sent his Son. God put on flesh in Jesus Christ and said, I am the Word. I am God's word. I am showing God to you. Here's what John continues to say a little later on. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. And towards the end of John chapter 1, he says this, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Do you hear that? Do you see that? Jesus is, he has revealed God to us because he is God. We talk about Jesus. We just celebrated yesterday. We were looking forward to Emmanuel, Jesus, God with us. And in Christ, we actually saw God face to face for the very first time. We actually saw God and can know him. People shook his hand. They saw him. They celebrated. They hugged him. They ate with him. That is the revealed word of God. So when we spend time in his word, we're really wanting to spend time knowing, learning, getting to know Jesus the Christ, the man who was God. Because look, this entire book, from cover to cover, is all about Jesus. From beginning to end. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And the purpose that God shared his words with us is that we might know the Word of God, Jesus the Christ. And so for you today, if you want to know God, and really we need to know Jesus, spend time in his word. John ends his gospel this way. So sorry, if you want to read this for the first time, spoiler alert. He talks about Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. Jesus did more than we can even write down in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. That's why we have this book. That's why we have the Word of God, that we might believe in Jesus. We might be rescued from our sins and have eternal life in his name. If you want to know God, Spend time in his word so that you can know Jesus, the very word of God. Okay, so we talked about some of these benefits. We've shared like why it matters. And I hope that one or all of those things resonated in your heart and you're saying, okay, I got it. I want to spend more time in his word. What do I do? How do I do this? Well, first of all, let's just get real down to brass tacks. How do we do that? So the first thing I'll say is you can just read your Bible. Think about what Paul shared with us earlier. He actually has a daily Bible reading plan. He just spends time every single day in God's word, reading his word. We have the luxury of having the written word. It's very accessible. Maybe you don't know where to start with a plan. We have one on our website, but you can also go open up your phone, go to the App Store, type in Bible, and you'll find an icon that looks just like this, right here, the Holy Bible. And it's download that app. It's filled with great reading plans. If you don't know where to start, there's a variety of reading plans. Maybe you do every Bible in a year. Maybe you do something more specific about the Gospels. It's all there. If you don't like reading on your phone, no problem. It just gives you the plan. You can start there and work your way from there. Find that thing. Maybe you already read your Bible every day, but maybe you have that feeling in your heart like, I've been doing the same thing every year. I want to mix it up. Well, you can mix it up by doing a different reading plan. You can do something simple like read a different version of the Bible. There's different translations of the Bible. I'm using an NIV, the New International Version. I sometimes read in the ESV, so you can look something like that. The NLT, the New Living Translation, is a little bit more modernized English and kind of brings a better sense to that. That might be something that you might enjoy. This last year, I've been reading a translation called The Message. It was written by a guy named Eugene Peterson. It's been really, it's the most new the Bible has ever felt to me in a long time. It's just a different way of looking at it. It's the same scripture, it's the same idea, but it's written in a different way that's causing me, wow, that's different. Maybe try and switch it up. Maybe some of you are multilingual. Maybe you read the Bible in a different language. Maybe your mother tongue. Maybe you read Hindi. Like, read it in Hindi. Read it in Spanish. Read it in Korean, in Mandarin, in Cantonese. Try something different. And I know that God's going to bring it up. It's living and active. He'll make it alive in your heart, and it'll be exciting and different. Some of you might be looking there, and you might be sitting right there at home, and you might be saying, like, I have tried to read the Bible every which way, and I'm not a reader. I'm not much of a reader. I don't do that. Well, I'm going to give you a little permission and a little secret here. You know, the printing press was not invented till 1436. And the first book, of course, if you know about the history of the printing press, the first book printed was the Bible. But before that, people did not have a Bible in their home in general. Making a book was incredibly time-consuming, incredibly expensive. And to top it all off, most people were illiterate for most of that time. And in the early church, they would go and hear the reading of God's word. So I'm right, like, you can listen to the Bible. Here's a podcast I used for a couple years. It's called the ESV Bible in a Year. It's going to come up right here. You can just go onto your favorite podcast app on your iPhone or Spotify. You can type in ESV through the Bible in a year. And every day, it gives that same reading of, there's a ton of these, but it gives a reading of scripture. I did that for 2 years. I decided, like, I want to listen to the Bible. I want to hear it. And it was really different. It was transformative. I loved it. I would recommend that to you. Maybe you're thinking, I'm not a reader. I want to be in the Word. Listening and hearing the Word 100% counts. You get credit for listening to God's Word. That's how most believers throughout all of history have experienced God's Word. You can be a part of that. The other thing is, you can listen to the preaching of God's word. You know, in the early church, in Acts 2, it talks about how all these people that were becoming Christians, they would come and sit and hear the Bible. They would sit under the apostles' teaching. So being here at this message, you're sitting under the teaching of God's word. Every single Sunday, we're spending time in God's word. So you got one day checked off. Hey, we are here hearing from God's word every single week. But maybe you want to hear more. You want to experience more of that. We, of course, have all our messages online, but I just want to recommend two podcasts that I listen to, sermons that I listen to that are really enriching to me. If you know me, I love Timothy Keller. If you search, go to your podcast app, Gospel in Life, you'll see this picture right here. It's incredible. Incredible Bible teacher, incredibly sound, one of the, if not the best Bible teachers of this generation. incredible. Listen to Timothy Keller. You'll be inspired and God will teach you through it. Another one is called, if you search Transformation Church, there's a couple of them. This is the logo you're looking for. Pastor Derwin Gray on the East Coast, incredible Bible teacher. Find those things where you can be encouraged daily on a drive to work, maybe when you're getting ready in the morning, that you're hearing the teaching and preaching of God's word and that you might be encouraged. Because here's the ultimate goal, right? If you want to know God, and I believe that most of you do, if you're watching this, you want to know God. That's what I'm assuming. If you want to know God, you have to spend time in his word. So this year, we got a few days to the new year. I want to just ask, like, how are you going to spend time in God's word this year? How are you going to do that? Maybe it's through reading, through listening, through hearing sermons or whatever that expression, maybe there's something different that God's put on your heart. And we do that so that we get to know God, we can grow in our faith, and we can know the person of Jesus Christ. So this time, I want to pray for you, pray that God would inspire you, move in your heart, and that you would know God more this year through your time in the Word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. So Father, we thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you for giving us your Word. We thank you that you inspired these faithful authors to record your very words, that we might know you, that we might grow in our faith in you, and that we might know your Son, Jesus. So Lord, help us to be in your word so that we can know the living word, Jesus Christ, that we might follow him, believe in him, and have life in his name. So Lord, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.